Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Dukes and Bell hanging out on a Friday. It's Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, guys. Thanks to Sam Mitchell for stopping by. Mike and I were just talking off air about the dominant Knicks, and it's funny because everybody said, you know, they did. They didn't play anybody in the East. Well, look, if they go up 2-0 tonight, everybody would be shot. Like, right. Does that even matter?
Well, again, you could argue it's not the Knicks' fault the Celtics couldn't handle their water with the Sixers. Right, so the Red Sea parted. Look, I would love to have seen Tatum healthy and what that Knicks Celtics matchup would have been.
Yes.
That sure looked like a 7-game series, but they couldn't get it done. You know, and now the Celtics get their own little soap opera. Sixers, Embiid was only going to be healthy for one or two games in that series at best. Donovan Mitchell, I thought, you know, he did everything possible. Harden disappeared, and Kenny Atkinson was a moron. So, not the Knicks' fault, right? Just like we said when the Hawks won all those games down the stretch, not our fault the schedule was easy. We didn't lose those games. We won those games we're supposed to.
You play who's in front of you, and that's laid out long before you get there. So, yeah, man, I'm with you. I just think in these big moments, you either step up or you don't. And here's the thing we're learning about the Spurs. We'll find out tonight. Unlike the Knicks, Mike, who have a closer in Brunson, I don't know what the Spurs do. The Wimby thing is one aspect of it, but like when you need a guy to finish a game for you, everybody just expects that to be Wimby. We're going to see if he's got that in the NBA finals.
But think about it. I mean, Brunson's off the floor. That's where the Spurs need to should be up by double digits, and the Knicks can't catch up. Knicks have showed some tremendous poise in battling back, and, you know, we talked about it. It's going to be a hell of a – I'm not saying they're going to – I don't think they sweep the Spurs, but it'd be a hell of a story that the Hawks are the only guys to beat Knicks in the 26th postseason.
It would be nuts. Hey, man, we're going to find out what's on Day-Day's mind on this Friday, but we need to get to 4th and 1. Last time we were talking about Baker Mayfield was when he put that tweet out to Kevin Stefanski. Looking forward to it, coach. He says he didn't get the support when he was in Cleveland from Stefanski. Stefanski downplayed it and said, look, enjoyed coaching Baker. He was great. No hard feelings. Looking forward to seeing him. Now, Mike, Baker Mayfield with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is in the middle of a contract discussion, and he says it's not going anywhere.
Contract stuff, it's happening, it's starting, the talks and whatnot, but not anywhere close to what, you know, we were thinking. So would love to be here long term, and as of right now, that's not exactly the case. But I'm under contract for 2026, and the guys in that locker room, the staff know that I'm still going to be me. I'm still going to do everything I can to help this team win a Super Bowl, and that's, to me, that's the priority. Everything else to take care of itself. Obviously, yes, I would love to have a long-term deal done, but they know my deadline is as soon as training camp starts. We're not doing any contract stuff. It's all ball. So it's not up to me when that gets done by. But so hopefully before that. If not, we're still going to have a good year.
Now, the knock on Baker was when he was young, he was immature, and he would be selfish, and he'd pop off, and he'd say just dopey stuff. Yeah, that's still a bit, you know, there's other guys at this stage of their career, let the agent handle that.
Sure.
And you say, I let the agent handle that.
That's right.
In Tampa. And, you know, I think we both met him, and he's a lot more likable guy. I think we should get to know his story. But still, I think you could have taken the high road in that one, but he put it out there.
Yeah, look, he lives, well, one of the places, because all these guys who have money live where they want. But he's got a place on Lake Travis in Austin, Mike, and I got friends who live there, and they love Baker. He's a nice guy. You know, the whole OU Texas thing was because he wanted to go to Texas.
Right.
They didn't want him. He ends up at OU, has a great career. And for him, he's always played with this chip on his shoulder.
Right.
That's what
drives him.
That's what you're hearing. You're hearing, and maybe Tampa might use this to their advantage. I don't know if they lowballed him, but he's like, that's not even close to what we thought the offer should be. Maybe this is the motivating factor for him. It's always been something. Baker, you're too small. Baker, you don't have the strong enough arm. Baker, you can't win. You won't be the number one pick. He's overcome all this stuff. So, look, I don't know what kind of season he's going to have, but if I'm Tampa, I'm not giving him a deal right now.
No. And I think there's a ceiling also. I think for all the things we said about Baker, there is a ceiling with him. I think he throws too many turnovers. I think he that's one thing that has been an issue. Don't forget, this could be going sideways with him and Zach Robinson.
Sure.
Now, when he did have like a day to learn the playbook, it worked out pretty well for Baker when he was with the Rams. But Zach, that's still Sean McVay. Zach was like third man, you know, in that mix.
Correct.
When Baker was there. But we'll see how Zach works with him in Tampa. But he did say before the part about the contract that he does love the community, said all the right things there. They've embraced us, enjoyed being here. Our buddy Rick Stroud was talking to him when he made that soundbite. But it will be interesting because they're a team which still has, I got to be honest, a lot of studs. They've had a good draft class. You don't replace a star, a Hall of Famer like Mike Evans, but they do have a lot of weapons, man.
That they do. A.J. Brown, who's the snitch, Mike?
Who's the snitch? Nobody likes a rat.
A.J. Brown said he leaked info in Philly last year to motivate the team.
What?
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, you were disgruntled. We knew you weren't happy. But now he comes out and says, yeah, I was leaking information about what was going on to try to motivate guys. What? What happened to keeping stuff in-house?
Yeah, and what happened when they asked you about, hey, heard there was a leader, offensive leaders meeting. Basically, you, Saquon, and Jalen.
Didn't happen.
I don't know what you're talking about. So, look, you know what? Take back all the nice things I said about him Wednesday. I'm sorry I was off yesterday. But he is a diva. That's diva stuff. You know, you can't talk out of both sides of your noggin. You know, that's very diva-esque. Like, I think it's I gave him all the credit in the world for, you know, trying to bite his lip, knowing that he's being underutilized in that offense. They spent a good money on him. And the vertical passing game was non-existent because Jalen Hurts just can't seem to get the ball down the field to him. But, yeah, why were you doing that? Does that help your situation?
I don't know. Here's
in a city like Philadelphia?
Here's AJ admitting to the leaks.
It was done purposely to give us a push. I know if I say something in the media, I know it's going to propel us to work on it. If you say what you need to say in the media, which I won't do that anymore, mm-hmm. it gives everything legs mm-hmm. and legs to push and to push everybody to be better. Because pressure isn't always a bad thing. It can also be a good thing, too. Honestly, I feel like it was okay to do because we had guys in the locker room who were men.
See, as he said, yes, most guys would just simply have a conversation. Be a leader on the team.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't have to be a players only thing, but you can get the message out in the locker room. Most guys don't think you should play it out in the media. That's why they don't like when managers in baseball or coaches and other sports play things out in the media, which is kind of a no-no in the locker room.
Yeah,
strange.
This is basically a mixed message from him because
it's passive aggressive.
Very much so. And here's the other part: like, you basically were crying about not getting the ball, but yet you're leaking stuff about other guys and situations to help motivate them. It just makes no sense to me.
That's jive. And look, I've never understood how Sirianni has survived, but the guy won a Super Bowl. His coach didn't.
He did.
You know, and whether or not, you know, there was a brain drain when he lost some of his assistant coaches, but it's amazing that this thing, this soap opera, has been. Now you heard it was a left tackle. Couple other players, they had his back because they like him. They know what a talent he is. But a lot of guys saying, look, I'm just glad this is over with. I'm sure there's a big whew in that locker room. But tell me where that production's coming from. Mekhi Lemon's going to be that guy?
Well, they got
Devontae
guys.
Smith? I don't know. Sometimes it seems like when we watched the Eagles last year, when the game was on the line, Dallas Goedert was the guy.
Yeah, look, I think
came up with the big play.
But I think Devontae comes into being the number one wide receiver there, and a lot of people think he's talented enough. He just hasn't been able to show as much because of that whole A.J. Brown, we got to get him the ball. It became the narrative.
Well, I mean, it's one thing. It's just like it was moments where he's got to be the blow the top off, and he's there, but Jalen Hurts just doesn't. When you have the video that a fan can see where he's open, and Jalen Hurts doesn't see him.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you got to get your coaches, and we got to. And there's a way to have the message without embarrassing your – unless it happens so often that A.J. says, screw it. You know, I'm just going to run with it. I'm going to talk about it in the media.
They're talent – the Eagles
And that's
are.
Why him and Jalen went –
Eagles are talented enough to get back to a Super Bowl, guys. They're in that bubble of teams that should be there. What's up with the Bears? Nothing with the team, but the new stadium is in jeopardy. The Bears' board of directors voted to advance the stadium development in Hammond, Indiana.
In the middle of an industrial park. Have you seen?
That's not Chicago.
This was like, now remember, Atlantic Station was a super site to clean up. You know, we did get the EPA involved. You can clean stuff up. But when you look at this area where they're going to put the stadium, I mean, you and I have talked about it. You ever driven from Chicago to Notre Dame? I mean, it's like, damn, the Jackson 5 grew up here? Like down the street in Gary. But it's... I still think it's a play by the Bears to get more leverage out of the state legislature in Illinois.
I do, too.
To have their stadium either on the lake or over there in Arlington Heights.
Look, J.B. Pritzker is the governor. They have tried to work out deals as far as negotiating with the Bears. and this is not done, but this is one of those major steps where you go, well, I've never even heard the Bears board of directors voting on something, because they don't. This is the first time it's happened where they've come. And again, they've had, you know, Soldier Field, which, by the way, if you've never been, is an amazing venue. I know it needs to be updated, but Mike and I have said this: tear it down and put the new stadium right there. It would be great. It's a perfect location. It's easy to get in and out of. The backdrop of Chicago. But look, they're trying to get a deal, Mike, just like everybody else. And so when you talk about the land and the money it's going to take, they're going to use this negotiating ploy.
Yeah, it's, again, Hammond, world-class stadium in Hammond, Indiana. Now, again, it's the same thing. When I was a kid, as a Giants fan, the idea that you're going to go to New Jersey to watch the Giants was like, are you out of your mind?
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
But you had to cross a river to do that. This is a little bit easier. Just going down south side, go past Comiskey Park, and you're over there.
All right, man. Coming up, we'll find out what's on Day Day's mind. Also in the 4 o'clock hour, Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti on the same page, finally. We'll tell you more about that. It's Dukes and Bell on a Friday.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.